No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, coming to you on Monday evening, wanting to record a little bit earlier. It's been a busy day. It always is. Your good friend and host, a little road weary too. Got back about 2:40 Sunday morning from Athens. And there are a couple things that I want to say about that. And listen, I don't know other people's jobs. I know mine. I know how to, how to ring the register. But I don't know maybe Department of Transportation type work. But the more that I travel, the more I appreciate MDOT. I really, really do. Now, one of the things for those of you that have never been to Athens, Georgia, maybe you don't fully understand this. Let me illustrate this as best I can. There's a highway off of 20 outside of Atlanta that you get on and head south to get down to Athens. It's a pretty nice highway. It is. It's also riddled with red lights. Riddled. It's like going through, two-lane highway in rural Mississippi years ago. And the problem with that, too, is there's not a lot of cross traffic. You'll be riding down the road, be out in the middle of nowhere, and you got to stop 150 cars for one car turning left. And then, that's on the way down there. And then going back out on game day, there aren't any of those smart lights out there, you know, that appear just to be set up on a timer, and I'm sure somebody that thinks they're doing a good job will message me and tell me that I'm wrong. I'm not. I'm sharing my experience. Getting out of Athens and getting back to the interstate took forever. Forever. And you got to think, I'm getting out of there two hours after the game ends. So, you know, we finished the game. We head down to post game. Takes a few minutes for Lebby to get there. Then we get Lebby, and thankfully we got 5 players. It's rare to get that many players after a road loss, but we did. We get those things done. Got to upload video. We got to type up some stories, and then you know we get in the car and get ready to head home. So 2 hours after the game is over, you get out of Athens. You get on that little highway heading south, heading north, and it was a disaster. So, for those of you that may work for Georgia Department of Transportation, I only have to deal with that once every so often. But let me tell you this. You are doing a disservice to your citizens the way that that is constructed. It just is. It is. And I hate to start out the show being so, quote, negative, but I'm just kind of telling you how it is. There is no reason in the world post-game, getting out of a college town like that, that you would have cars stopping for no cross traffic in a rural area. None whatsoever. Set up some smart lights, give those people 5 seconds to take their little left turn or whatever, and then get the traffic flowing again, man. It's a joke. And again, I don't have to deal with it very often. When I went down for baseball, it wasn't nearly as bad. But all that understood, thankful for our folks at MDOT, and I know that we have some challenges here with game day traffic at Mississippi State. We also don't have the infrastructure they do at some other places. I've been to LSU. I know what a disaster that can be. They do contraflow where everything just kind of flows away from the stadium. But I just wanted to throw that out there just because of the fact that I'm an American and the First Amendment still exists for now. And so I wanted to be able to kind of share those thoughts. And so, I don't know if it makes any difference whatsoever. Someone said, Steve, you're whining. Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am. And, you know, it's easy for you to say as you sit on the comfort of your couch watching a ball game with, you know, some other sports writers that probably could have sat right along with you. And when you wonder, hey, what happened? You could have just turned and asked them, you know, because they didn't know any more than you. But I digress. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I will partake in some Bulldog Burger Company this week. Not sure if it's going to be a dinner or a lunch. I just know that I've got a craving for Bulldog Burger Company, and I can't get that craving quenched anywhere else. I've got to go get that itch scratched at Bulldog Burger Company. There's just a quality that I expect when I go out to eat. I mean, when we travel a lot, we have to eat out a lot. And the more that I eat out, it's kind of like the old MDOT comparison. The more that I travel, the more that I realize how great our restaurants are here in Starkville, Mississippi, especially those with the Eat With Us group. And so as a result, I think to myself, I want to reward their commitment to excellence by giving them my patronage. And so I will be dining at Bulldog Burger Company this week. Not sure if it's in-house or if it's to-go. But I will be partaking of some Bulldog Burger Company this week. And I suggest you do the same. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harper Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Perhaps you're headed to Davis Wade Stadium after your meal on Saturday. You can walk around looking cool with that Bulldog Burger Company cup. I'm probably going to go ahead and get the smokehouse again, you know, because I stick with what works for me, you know, and so that's kind of what's working for me as of late. I don't know how you feel. Maybe you want the Bryant, maybe the Pimentology add bacon. I hadn't had that in a while, too. I may get that soon. And if you're looking to maybe eat a little lighter, maybe get the BLT salad. I like it grilled. You may prefer it fried. I'm not judging. I'm from South Mississippi. I understand everything in South Mississippi is battered and fried and served with ranch dressing. So I get it. Old habits die hard. But the Bulldog Burger Company has the cure for what ails you. Go by and check them out today. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, a lot to talk about today. It's going to be a football and top 10 only show today. We're going to break down the game here. And real quick, I have to point out before we get, I said it's going to be football only. I did get back in time to go cover the soccer game last night. Your Lady Bulldogs win 5-0 over Missouri. Still the only undefeated team in the Southeastern Conference. Set a school record now with 6 SEC wins. We're 1 win away from tying the program record for 13 wins in a season. Also have set a single season record win streak. How about that? And only 4 regular season games to play. And your Bulldogs 4th in RPI. We expect to be 3rd in the polls when they come out on Tuesday afternoon. North Carolina was ranked ahead of us at 2nd in the country last week. They did lose to Stanford. We won both of our games, as did Wake Forest and Duke. So Duke will remain number 1. Wake will go to 2. We should go to 3. So another high point in Coach James Armstrong's tenure here at Mississippi State. Bulldogs will play Friday evening in Oxford against the Ole Miss Rebels, last place Ole Miss Rebels in the SEC. They finally played an SEC game without losing on Sunday. They did get a draw. So we'll see how things work out for them. But I'd like to win that game big, but the bottom line is I just want to win. And then we'll be home next Thursday night for senior night against Kentucky. Then we'll have a Saturday date down at College Station, Texas, or Sunday date, the Arkansas weekend. And then there is the makeup game that we'll have to play against South Carolina. That could prove to be, you know, I don't think Arkansas is going to drop a game. So it kind of keeps us motivated. You know what I'm saying? But I'm having a lot of fun covering these ladies. Their attitude and love for one another, their sport, and this university is infectious. We're on fall break right now. A lot of students aren't in town. We still had 2,073 fans come out for the game. Second largest crowd in the history of Mississippi State soccer. So, and the biggest crowd ever, which is a couple weeks ago when we took down number one Arkansas. All right, let's jump into it again. Bulldogs head to Athens, Georgia. As you guys know, Georgia wins a toss and they defer. So for the sixth time this year, Mississippi State starts the game on offense. That's an amazing streak. It really is. We have started out, whether we've won the toss or not, and I don't know if Jeff Lebby would prefer to have it on offense first. Offensive-minded coaches traditionally do. I like to defer myself because then you kind of know what you need to do. And you know you get that guaranteed possession coming out of the half. But because sometimes it takes a possession or two for people to settle in. And so I've always kind of felt that first possession, second half, was crucial. But nevertheless, we start out on offense. And again, Michael Van Buren under center. And this first quarter, I thought Mike's misses were pretty bad. I'm just going to kind of call it for what it is. There were some times we tried some controlled passing game type stuff, some quick slants and things like that. And had we thrown it in stride, probably a completion, but we were missing and throwing the ball behind receivers and really in a situation where the guys couldn't make catches. But Mike did settle down, played exceptionally well, ends up being your co-freshman of the week, throwing for over 300 yards. And it really got going after he hit a couple of shots. You know, it wasn't the intermediate passing game that kind of got him in rhythm. It was him kind of stretching his legs a little bit and firing one down the field and letting the guy run under it. But a slow start for the Bulldog offense. We knew that running against them was kind of going to be a dicey proposition. People have been able to run against Georgia a little bit. But I don't know that Georgia is maybe statistically commiserate with their talent level. You know what I'm saying? They got some war daddies up front, and they got off to a good start against us. A three-and-out drive for State to start it out. We try to run Booth up the middle. No gain there. We try to take the slant there to Craver. He catches it for just 3 yards and gets out of bounds. I guess maybe it really wasn't a slant. But we get it out to Craver, 3-yard gain, and then we're incomplete to Coleman. And then Nick Barmira comes up with a 56-yard punt. Really big-time punt. And sometimes you're going to have you know, somebody flip the field for you. Well, we do here. And it works out well for us. Carson Beck, and I'll be honest with you guys, I was not impressed with Carson Beck. The statistics show one thing. The reality shows another. Because there was a lot of bubble screens in this. They had a couple of shots. You know, a couple of money shots, but by and large, it was just kind of swinging the ball out. It was like, check down this, check down that. Really, and I guess you kind of want Carson Beck to be a game manager, but I didn't think he was great. And I really begin to question my belief in Georgia being an AFL championship contender. There are a lot of skilled players around him, and I think Trevor Etienne's really good, but I don't think Beck is capable. He's not Stedman. He's not. And so Carson Beck's first pass is incomplete, thrown out to Arian Smith, who got banged up in the game, too. He's your leading receiver. They decide to go with no huddle here, and it's batted at the line. Brandon Jennings gets a big hand on it. It's up in the air, and as soon as it got elevated up there, there were three Mississippi State defenders, just one Georgia offensive skill position player near the football, and it's Bryce Pollock that comes down with it. And now all of a sudden, you're like, hey, we punted from our 28. Now we got it first and 10 at their 26. Pretty much a negative drive, though. Johnny Daniels runs at the middle for two. We go back to Daniels, and it's a 5-yard loss. So it's a net loss three of the first two plays, and it's incomplete to Craver. And if we throw that ball to Craver in stride, if we throw it on target, he is going to score. The safety is occupied with an underneath route. It's a really great play design. You don't recognize it because we didn't complete the pass. But Craver runs a good route, gets inside positioning, and we throw the ball behind him. If we throw it on target, it is a touchdown. Fortunately, we're able to get a field goal out of this. Kyle Ferry good from 47 yards. And State has the lead. for the first time all year against a Power Four opponent. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. All right. Georgia takes over at 35 because, you know, we couldn't stand Prosperity. We kick a ball out of bounds. And I'm not going to just, you know, rail about that because we've been very good special teams. But of all the times to kick one out of bounds, this isn't it, right? This is the wrong one. All right, first and 10 from their 35. It's complete to Anthony Evans for 10. That moves the chains. And in first and 10, they get it out to Lawson Lucky. And then he fumbles it. Bryce Pollock pulls it out of there, but they're able to get back on it. Second and 7 now, gain of 3 on the play. Second and 7 is complete to Arrigan Smith for 7, moves the chains there. Again, Bryce Pollock all over the place, makes a tackle. First and 10 now, ATN's first carry of the game, up the middle for 7. On second and 3, they go back to him for 2, and now it's 3rd and 1. Hunter Washington a little bit shaken up on the play, but he came back. I thought Hunter Washington played a pretty good game. 3rd and 1, 18 at the middle for 2. Corey Ellington with the stop there. Ellington has been very active as of late, too, since we've got him healthy. Branson Robinson, the Mississippi native, by way of Germantown High School, at the middle for 6. 2nd and 4, they go back to him for 1. Makes it 3rd and 3. Chris Keyes Jr. on the tackle there for the Bulldogs. Remember, transfer from Indiana. Had done a whole lot, but he's had to play a little bit as of late. 4th and 3, they kick a field goal and tie it. On the 3rd and 3 play, they take a shot down the field, and it's incomplete. Field goal ties it. Touchback on the kickoff. You know, we talked about that you know, about 50% of their kicks have been returnable. We had several of these that we fair caught inside the 25. And I don't know if that's just kind of by design, if we thought we couldn't block them up. I don't know. But we had several of those kicks that were short of the end zone that we elected the fair catch. All right, 1st and 10 from our 25. We go to Booth at the middle for 5. Really nice first down gain. Makes it 2nd and 5. We go back to him for 2. George ends up burning a timeout on 3rd and 3. And we try the slant here to Kevin Coleman. And the pass is just not competitive. Nick Barmira then, after back-to-back 3 and outs for the Bulldogs. I guess it's 3 in a row. 55-yard punt and return of 6 yards out to their own 19. So, you know, Nick doing a good job here. All right, Georgia takes over their 19 with 5:34 to go in the quarter. Beck is incomplete, and it's Corey Ellington getting a hand in there to break that thing up. On 2nd and 10, ATN runs off the right side. Then Ellington gets flagged for a face mask. It was an obvious call. Moves the chains, going to be a first and 10. So instead of it being a 3rd and 5, now it's 1st and 10. So we kind of, you know, Kirby talked about things that they gave us. This is a situation where we kind of gave them. Not to say we don't know what would happen on 3rd and 5, but you certainly prefer a possession down rather than a new set of downs. All right, 1st and 10 from their 39. It's complete for 6 yards out to Anthony Evans. And on 2nd and 4, they come back to Arrigan Smith, and he gets loose for 26. That's across midfield and inside the Bulldog 30 at 1st and 10 at our 29. Nate Frazier up the middle for 4. 2nd and 6. Take a shot down the field, and it's incomplete there. 3rd and 6. A chance for us to be hold for a field goal. Pass is complete, though, for 20 yards. Zachary Tillman running down the field, huffing to make a tackle. One of the bright spots on the Bulldog defense has had the challenges. Now it's 1st and goal at our 5. They give it to Branson Robinson. Right up the middle, one of the highlights of the day for Branson Robinson, who left the game with an injury. Extra point is good, makes it 10-3. All right, now 1st and 10 at our 25 after another touchback. We try to get Coleman involved in the running game, and they're not having it. And it's so hard to run east and west against a team like Georgia with such elite team speed. So we get just one out of it. And Kevin Coleman is legit. And so if Kevin can't do it, we probably shouldn't try it. 2nd and 9, Michael Van Buren incomplete to Kevin Coleman. Would have been a nice play there. And then there's a illegal snap on Ethan Miner, makes it 3rd and 14. So here we are, kind of a self-inflicted situation. Makes it 3rd and 14, and Van Buren gets flushed. He runs for 4 yards. We get flagged for illegal formation. They decline the penalty, and then Nick Barmira, a chance to kind of pin him back here. And this time it's just 41 yards. They do fair catch it, though, at the Georgia 34. All right, Carson Beck is then complete. They start the swing game here. Swing it out to ATN for five. Second five, back out to ATN for five. 14 yards this time. Breaks a tackle. It was on second and five. First and 10, it's incomplete to Lawson Lucky. And second and 10, it's complete to Dominic Lovett for 5 yards. Makes it a third and five play, a chance for State to get off the field. And that runs out the quarter. And so if I told you, it's eerily reminiscent of the game of Texas, right? You know, we had a better start offensively, but you look up after one quarter and you think, you know, guys, we're in this thing. If we can get a couple of stops, maybe we can get the offense going. Well, we do get the offense going. The defense didn't get enough stops, but in the middle of this ball game, we were certainly very competitive. Third and five, it's complete to Lovett for 15 yards. John Lewis on a tackle makes it first and 10 at the State 27. It's complete to Dominic Lovett for seven. Now it's second and three. They give it to ATN, who runs 20 yards for the touchdown. However, Monroe Freeling held on the play, and you can't do that in tackle football. That backs it up. Now second and 13 at the State 30. They swing it out to Branson Robinson for five. And that's very efficient, very efficient. Robinson's injured on the play, did not return. But they ran the screen game exceptionally well, and we have shown – you know, maybe a weak spot, kind of Achilles heel, that we have trouble getting off blocks in the perimeter. We got to get that fixed. Third and eight, complete to Arian Smith for 4 yards, makes it fourth and four. They elect to go for it. And it works. It's complete to Oscar Delp at the 14 for 11 yards. Now it's a first and 10 from the 10. And then next thing you know, they give it to Trevor Etienne. We stack him up for a two-yard loss. Brandon Jennings with a nice play, really emerging as one of the better players on the Bulldog defense. Second and 12 is complete to Etienne for a three-yard loss. Deontay Anderson makes a really great play here. We hadn't called his name a lot this year. But you start thinking, hey, you know what? Hey, it's good to see the defense kind of bow up a little bit. Some things hadn't gone well here. You got to hold for a field goal. Third and 15, they decide to swing it out to ATN. And we got in his face a little bit here and forced the early throw. The field goal is good. It's 13-3. So not the worst of situations, but we needed to find a way to answer. And the Bulldogs do. And again, these first few drives for State, the entire first quarter, we had 12 yards on 12 plays. Not great. And we did hire Jeff Lebby, an offensive guru, to kind of help with that aspect of it, right? It's going to take root. But I get the fan frustration. And you look up, it's like, man, defense is playing pretty well. If we just had a little more continuity on offense, this game's a lot more competitive. And yes, we know it's Georgia, but you know, we hired Jeff Lebby, Mike Leach, and others to come in here and beat Georgia. We're not just here to go to the Independence Bowl. All right, first and 10 from our 25. Johnny Daniels runs at the middle, loss of two. Good push from Georgia on the play. Damon Wilson the second with a tackle. Second and 12, we decided to dial up a shot here. And this really got Mike going. Craver runs a great route. Mike throws a great ball. Craver gets it and then continues to kind of veer, kind of extending the route, following the same course where the route took him. And Daniel Harris trips him up at the 5-yard line. But from that point forward, I thought Mike Van Buren was much better. You dial up the shot, you kind of get him going, and it's like, okay, Mike, let's go make a play. So in one chunk play, we've done everything offensively than we've done for the day for the most part. We go back to Daniels for one, makes it second goal from the four. And then we complete the pass to Kevin Coleman, who was wide open. And the reason he was wide open is we ran a little bit of a pick play there. We get called for OPI. That backs you up 15 yards. Now, all of a sudden, it's second and goal from the 19. And then Luke Work, who has been really good for State, playing there at left tackle in place of McKaylin Pounders. McKaylin was a little bit sick, couldn't go. But now it's second and goal from the 24. And you think, man, this is terrible. We get down first and goal. We've lost 19 yards. This drive's going to end in a field goal. But no, it's not. Good play design here. And we find Kelly Akari wide open for the touchdown. Again, good throw from Mike. Extra point is good. It's 13-10, and I can tell you it was a different story at Sanford Stadium. All of a sudden, there was a little bit of an unsettled rustling, shall we say. All right, touchback on the kick. First and 10 now. Carson Beck is complete to Dylan Bell for 23 yards. That gets him out and going. Out near midfield, Carson Beck, then incomplete to Dominic Lovett. And they're flagged for illegal shifts. It's first and 15. We got it behind the chains here. You think, okay, let's just make a tackle, get them off schedule a little bit, but instead give them credit. We don't do that. They get 12 yards. Nate Frazier does the honors there off the left side. Now it's second and 3. So the penalty has been negated, right? Right here. Again, first and 15, you've got to keep them behind the chains. You've got to keep them in predictable play calling situations. Second and 3, they swing it out to ATN. He gets 9 yards and a first down. First and 10, they go back to ATN for 5. Second and 5, take the shot there, Dylan Bell, and it's touchdown. And we're called for holding on the play. It's declined. And, a lot of discussion about this play. Jeff Levy was asked about some of this today. You know, elected not to really talk about it. Said we're going to keep a lot of things private that we discuss with players. And I respect that. But in the social media age, there's nowhere to hide if you make a mistake. None whatsoever. All right, first and 10. Of course, the kickoff now is a touchback. What's fair caught at the 10? Those are things that I think about. If we're fair catching it at the 10, just me. Okay, 20 to 10 now, Georgia. State takes over at 25. We're incomplete to Mario Craver. Threw the ball out of bounds. And then we're incomplete on a deep shot to Kevin Coleman, trying to stretch the field a little bit. And third and 10, we're incomplete to Booth. However, it's roughing the passer. And trying to run a screen play there, and so you're turning those guys loose, a little bit too aggressive there by Damon Wilson. That extends the drive for State. First and 10 now from our 40. We give it to Booth for nothing. We run Craver off the left side for 2. And on 3rd and 8, we're incomplete to Mario Craver. Would have been a first down had we completed it. And then Nick Barmero with a 38-yard punt. Fair caught at the 20. So, again, nothing from the drive. And it kind of felt like right here, they're going to go for the kill shot right here, as they should, right? All right, so they make a big play down the field for 55 yards on 1st and 10. And when you're up 2 scores already, you got nothing to lose with being aggressive here. It's kind of like being that boxer, right? I mean, you've been jabbing, you got a guy all of a sudden that's not responding in kind, and you feel their fate, and you got a chance to end the fight. And so they come out throwing a haymaker, and they connect. On 1st and 10, Nate Frazier then runs for 4, makes it 2nd and 6 in the Bulldog 21. They go back to Frazier for 6. 1st and 10 from the Bulldog 15. It's complete to Dylan Bell for a 3-yard loss. Brian Lanier really knifed in there, made a nice play. 2nd and 13. Beck is complete to Oscar Delp. Ends up being a 17-yard gain down to the State 1. And State, you know, it's one of those things I'll say, you know, it's rare to see us give up. And I think that's a good tenet of this culture that we're in now. A lot of people out there talk about it's just a game for these guys, it's just a job. And I don't think that's really the case. Not for everybody. All right, 2-minute timeout comes up here, and first and goal from the 1. It's complete to Lawson Lucky for the score. We're called for holding on the play. It's declined. Now it's 27-10, and it really feels like, you know what, this thing is over. You know, we picked State to cover. That seemed to be in jeopardy at this point. We take over at our 25 with 1:56 to go. We run Daniels at the middle for 3, and then get it to Seydou for 6 here. Didn't think we got the best spot. 3rd and 1, Michael Van Buren runs for it. We started to slide a little bit too early, too. I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. I honestly did not think they were going to give it to us. But we get the first down. 1st and 10 now. We're complete to Kevin Coleman at the State 43 for 11. Moves the chains again. 1st and 10 now from the 46. You think, okay, maybe we got some things going. We take a shot to Kevin Coleman. It's incomplete. We go back, try to get it to Justin Ball. It's broken up by Mikel Williams. On 3rd and 10, we end up calling timeout, 32 seconds. We elect to take a shot here and overthrow it, and K.J. Bolden picks it off at the Georgia 19 and steps out of bounds. And from there, it's pretty crazy here. You think they're just going to go try to get into the half, but they don't. It's complete to Evans for 18 yards. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, we've got a chance here, right? We can't ever play like they're just going to run the clock out, right? They get it out to ATN for 5, take a timeout with 16 seconds to go. Second 5 is complete to Cash Jones for 10. Now it's across midfield. 1st and 10, complete to Cash Jones again for 11. It's another first down. They call timeout with 4 seconds to go, bring Woodring on and attempt a 55-yard field goal. It's no good. But the truth of the matter is we should never have been in that situation. They got way too many chunk plays here on this drive. Should not have happened. They get a ball with less than 30 seconds to go at their own 19-yard line and then still have an opportunity to tack on points at the end. Those are you know, kind of situations within the ball game that sometimes we miss. Shouldn't have happened. All right, let's get to the second half.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
I turned to Dave Murray and I said, if I'm Georgia, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to do whatever I got to do to score. And I've dialed it up. I've schemed it up. I've got it all plotted out before everybody goes out there. Beck knows exactly what I want to do. They're completely Dominic Lovett for 4. Then they hit a big shot to Ben Urosek for 29 yards across midfield. And then next thing you know, this is the pass to Arian Smith and for the touchdown. And this is the play that everybody talked about with Lanier. You know, some people have told me he thought they were in the end zone. There's a reason it's usually a different color. But yeah, you don't want to see that. You know, I don't. When I first saw it, I was like, how in the world is that possible? And somebody told me, well, they thought they were in the end zone. I don't know. But I know this. I know that it's been addressed, and that's all that matters. And we'll trust Jeff Lebby to get that corrected. But now it's 34-10. And I don't care what you say. When you get behind this much, the edge comes off the other team a little bit. It does. And so I don't want to get – granted, we went and scored 31 points against Georgia. But, guys, this game was over. Just a couple minutes into the second half. It's 34-10. The game is over. I know what the clock says. I know what conventional wisdom says. But with the talent of Georgia, a team that we're down 24 points in the second half, the game is over. Now, the good thing, Mississippi State's like, you know what? We're not going to just pack in and go to the house. I thought we made some good adjustments here, too. Really like what we did here, especially on the passing game. And again, I thought Mike really calmed down a little bit. And again, maybe it's the vertical passing game. There's a lot of guys that struggle with those underneath passes. You know, it's about timing, right? So we're complete to Jordan Mosley for three. He's kind of disappeared on us a little bit. We need Jordan to play well. Second and seven, Booth up the middle for a one-yard loss. And on third and eight, we're incomplete to Sadu. However, there is pass interference, and there was pass interference. There was contact. It was just going to be whether they deemed it incidental or P.I. Well, they flag him for P.I. So now it's first and 10 from the 36. We're complete to Coleman for 19 yards. Coleman's legit. Booth then up the middle for three. Makes it second and seven from the Georgia 42. We get it back out to Coleman for just two. And there's a delay of the game penalty against us. Those are the things that still bother me. We can talk about crowd noise all we want to. But it's about getting the play in. You know, for decades, we didn't have helmet comms. You just signaled the play in from the sideline. And so it's not about he couldn't hear. And so whether that's on mic or that's on the sideline, that's got to be cleaned up. Third and 10, Van Buren is then sacked for a loss of seven. However, he face masked him. And so you got to think, too, if you're Georgia right now, you're thinking, you know, it's like this drive is over. And we've gifted them new life. And State takes full advantage of that. First and 10 now at their 30. Daniels off the left side for two. We get it to Sadu, who moves the chains with a gain of nine. Now first and 10 from their 19. And Johnny Daniels off the right side kind of explodes out there, shows some burst. And into the end zone, the extra point is good, makes it 34-17. Listen, penalties are part of the game. It is. I mean, you know, we extended a drive for them. Or we put them in a much better situation, a face mask penalty earlier. It's part of it. And face mask traditionally is an effort penalty anyway. Now, you start thinking, well, do we have an opportunity here to get a stop? Well, Georgia comes out now, and they're like, hey, Mississippi State, we kind of liked it when you guys were down 24. So, lo and behold, they dial up a reverse here, and you could see the numbers did not favor us at all. Very well-designed play. I don't know if somebody on defense in the booth just didn't recognize it, but you could see they had us out-leveraged on the snap. They pull some guys and get out front on that reverse for 52 yards. Hunter Washington runs it down. Touchdown-saving tackle, and that ended up mattering for State. First and 10 from our 23. It's complete to Anthony Evans for seven. They go back to Frazier, five-yard gain for him to move the chains. It's first and 10 at the 11, and then Carson Beck drops back to pass. Diego Bromfield undercuts the route and makes a very athletic play, and he's a guy that we signed out of portal from Memphis. We were expecting him to come in here and compete for a starting spot at corner. He has not been healthy. He is finally healthy, and he makes a big play right there at the goal line to turn Georgia away. Well, now, offensively, you've got to go make that defensive turnover matter. Right? You can't just go out there and punt. You can't go three and out and punt. You got to try to find a way to climb back into this thing. All right, we're complete to Akari for 13. It's a first down. First and 10 now out to the 33. We take a shot now to Kevin Coleman. 42 yards down to the Georgia 25. they ended up reviewing the play, and the in-stadium replay that we saw, it was pretty apparent that it was going to be one of those plays where the call on the field was going to stand. Because look at the replay. Of course, I'm biased. I thought the trail foot was in before the front foot landed at or near the boundary. And even then, there was some ambiguity with that. The play stands. I didn't think they'd confirm it or reverse it. I think the right call was made there. Now first and 10 now to Georgia 25. And again, that's Mike making a shot down the field. The vertical passing game appears to be a strong suit for him. We go to Booth for nothing. And then Booth gets loose for 18 here. One of the bigger runs of the year for him. Now it's first and goal at the 7. We go to Booth again for 4. Back to him for 1. Makes it a 3rd and 2. And you're thinking, we've got to get a touchdown here. And the pass is complete to Kevin Coleman. It's complete, but we don't get anything out of it. No gain on a play. And on 4th and 2, we go for it, and we swing it out to Booth, who lost his balance but regained enough to push himself and propel himself into the end zone. It's good. The extra point is good. And now it's 34-24. Now all of a sudden, you're like, guys, we're back in this thing. If we can get another stop, maybe we figured out some things on offense, we can make this thing competitive. Well, we get the stop. 1st and 10 from their 25. ATN at the middle for 2. 2nd and 8, they complete to Lovett for 19. Isaac Smith on a tackle there. And on 1st and 10, it's incomplete to Lovett. 2nd and 10, they give it to ATN for a 1-yard loss. Trevion Williams, big boy play right here. Makes it 3rd and 11. They attempt to take a shot to Arian Smith. It's incomplete. He's shaking up on the play. They end up having to punt, the first punt of the day, for 36 yards. Fair call by Coleman. So now all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're down 10 going to the fort on the road in Athens. You get a touchdown here, things get awfully, awfully interesting. Final play of the quarter, Michael Van Buren runs off the left side for 2. That does run out the quarter. So again, State headed to the final period here. They already have earned a little respect and maybe a little belief in each other. And you start thinking, you know, again, if we can find a way to go get some points here, even a field goal helps you. I mean, you love the touchdown, but a field goal helps you because it makes it a 1-score game. Van Buren is then complete to Sadu for 14, makes it 1st and 10 out to the State 35. Then we're incomplete to Craver and go back incomplete to Craver. Now it's 3rd and 10. We're complete to Coleman for 8, and you got to go. You absolutely have to go. Right? Great play design here. There's so much going on. And we basically have a little bit of a sidearm pass. We swing it out there to Sadu. Gets 11 yards. And then it's a false start on Luke. So we're behind the chains right out of the gate. 1st and 15. But we go to Daniels for 7. Makes it a little more manageable. Still 2nd long. 2nd and 8. And we run for the first down. However, there is a holding call on Jacoby Jackson. Looking at the in-stadium replay, there was not a holding call, or at least not enough of a hold that should warrant a call. And so as a result, now it's 2nd and 16. We're incomplete to Sadu, and then we're incomplete to Davin Booth. We end up having a punt. That holding call really, really mattered. It really mattered because, again, it's 2nd and 8 from Georgia's 44. We run for 9. It's going to be 1st and 10 at the Georgia 35. And who's to say what could happen? That one score you need to make it a 1-score game could have potentially come at this drive. This was a back-breaking penalty. And I'm sure we probably got a letter from the SEC office like the dry cleaner sends you when they can't get a stain out. We're sorry, we're sorry, we're sorry. But there's nothing we can do. Man, we have a punt. Huge, huge call in the game. 11 minutes to go, and Georgia puts us away here on this drive. You know, Frazier runs off the right side for a loss of 2. Hunter Washington, 9 for then making them. We're starting to get some TFLs. We've got to do better in pass coverage. 2nd and 12. Beck gets flush and runs to the middle for 8. Makes it a 3rd and 4. And again, you begin to think there, if you get him to throw that ball away or perhaps, you know, you get him for no gain, it's a 3rd and long, but instead it's 3rd and 4. They get it to Lawson for 5. That moves the chain. 1st and 10, complete to London Humphreys. Caught at the Georgia 29 for just 5. Brumfield and Nick Mitchell combined on the tackle. 2nd and 5, incomplete. 3rd and 5, again, a chance for us to get off the field here, and instead It's complete to Dylan Bell for 10 yards that moves the chains. First and 10, they let Etienne carry it off the left side for 9. Second one, back up the middle for 6 with Frazier. First and 10 at the State 40. Back to Frazier for 5, makes it second and 5. They give it off the right side to Etienne. 10 yards there and a new set of downs. First and 10, Etienne stop for no gain. You know, we're just kind of hoping, you know, can you hold for a field goal here? That's, you know, worst case. Didn't work out that way. So they complete to Dylan Bell to the State 11 for 21 yards. And just kind of feels like, you know what, we're in trouble here. And it's first and goal from the State 4. Pardon me. That was caught at the 11, and then he runs it to the 4. They go to Frazier for 2, second 2. And again, give the Bulldogs credit for not quitting here. Second 2. They go back to Nate Frazier, and he gets a yard. State stacks him up. And I thought the spot was favorable. Third and 1, it's incomplete to Oscar Delp. Trevor Etienne then scores on a 1-yard gain. And what I know of the rules of football is you can push a guy across the line to gain. You can't pull him across. In the in-stadium replay that we saw, it appeared that there was a Georgia offensive lineman pulling him forward. Would have been a change of possession. Would have been turnover on downs. Not to say that we'd have gone down and scored, but that's a fourth down play. Right? It's true. All right, and then the extra point's good. It's 41-24, so the lead is back up to 17 with next to no time left in this ballgame. And Buren's short and incomplete to Mario Craver on second 10. We're complete to Kevin Coleman for 18. That makes it a first and 10 from our 43. Ben Buren gets flushed and runs off the left side for 6 yards. And this is where the incident happened with Kirby Smart. I'm going to address that later in the show. But this is the play right here. Should have been a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't think he should be suspended. I don't think it needs to make a, you know, we made a big enough deal about it already. But I got some things I want to say about how we've handled this, how we should have handled this, and how some of our fans have reacted to this. And it may hurt some people's feelings, and I don't care. Second 4, we are incomplete to Kelly Akari. Take a shot there. On 3rd and 4, we are complete to Kevin Coleman, who gets 3. 4th and 1, we take a timeout, talk about it here. And again, good play design here. Find a way to get Sadu involved in a possession play. And catches it to 50 and runs to Georgia 37. You feel like, okay, we kind of got some juice here. Mike gets flushed and runs ahead for 2 yards. A 2-minute timeout comes. Incomplete on a throw down to Craver to Georgia 2. And then we come back to Akari for the touchdown. Incredible catch here. He is extremely well covered. Beautifully blown ball. Beautiful catch. He did spin the football afterwards. They didn't flag us, thank goodness, because that, you know, that's the Willie Gay rule. Extra point is good. Now it's 41-31. And Georgia runs out the clock here. So again, it never felt like that we were, in the second half anyway, it never felt like that we were about to take the lead or take control of the ballgame. But that's some elite athletes on that defense. And again, the edge comes off, right? I mean, there's no telling how they would have played or how they would have called it if we'd kind of stayed a little bit closer. But 17 first downs for your Bulldogs, 28 for Georgia, and Georgia, 21 of those coming via the pass. Now, some of that is inflated a bit because, you know, the bubble screen game and so much of them flexing Trevor Etienne out and the swing pass and that kind of stuff, it's an extension of the running game. But they only got 6 rushing first downs. But to be fair, you know, 21 of those and probably about half of those were just, you know, little swing passes and bubbles. We run for 79 yards. That's the net, and they run for 146. Passing, we took for 306. They took for 459. 36 of 48 for them. And we did have some passes that we influenced with a little bit of pass rush, but there's not enough of that. There's not enough PBUs for my taste. Van Buren, 20 of 37 with the 1 interception and the 3 touchdowns. So, good game for him. Anytime that you go between the hedges and put up those kinds of numbers, it's going to be big. But we give up 605 yards of offense in this ball game. You're not going to win in a Southeastern Conference game against anybody giving up 600 yards, just with rare exception. We've got to be able to get off the field better. We absolutely have to be able to get off the field. We've got to be better. State punts five times for an average of 44.6. Georgia's one punt, the 36-yarder that Kevin Coleman fair caught. Kickoffs, we kicked off five times, four of those touchbacks. They kick off eight times, four of them touchbacks. And, of course, the rest of them were fair caught. The one at the 10 still sticks in the craw a little bit. I'm sure it was all predetermined, but still. Bulldogs 2 of 12 on third down. Georgia 5 of 11. Both teams perfect on fourth down. We were 3 for 3. They were 2 for 2. We got in the red zone three times. Scored all three times. How about that? Yeah. Georgia gets in a red zone five times and only scores four. Look at individual numbers. Mike's numbers are well documented. Davin Booth, 10 carries for 32 yards. Johnny Daniels, 9 for 29. Michael Van Buren, 5 for 15. Bulldog offensive line did not allow a true sack. You had the one sack that was nullified by the face mask penalty, but that's it. Kevin Coleman, 8 grabs for 103 yards. He continues to have a great, great year for Mississippi State. Mario Craver, 2 for 75, the one long of 72. Kelly Akari, 3 catches for 72 yards and a couple touchdowns. Seydou, 5 for 51. One of his better games, without question, in my estimation. Stone Blanton led us in tackles with 9, and then there was a host of others. Brylon Lanier had 6 tackles, including that one big TFL. He has made a lot of plays for us. And I really feel like that one play that everybody's talking about is kind of unfairly characterized a play of Brylon Lanier. The guy made a mistake. This happened to be on national television, right? He has played really well for State. I will mention Corey Ellington with 6, Isaac Smith with 5, and a lot of people are paying attention to where Isaac Smith is. He's part of the pre-snap read now. But, State, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 TFLs within the ballgame. Also had the forced fumble, too. But we've got to find a way to get off the field. And that's not all talent. Some of that's schematic. I get it. You're like, hey, we don't have championship-level talent. You knew that when you took the gig, right? It's your job to kind of figure it out. And I understand you can't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule. I understand that. But you've got to find a way to put something together because this is week after week after week. And I understand you play Texas and Georgia, they're going to expose your weaknesses really like nobody else. And hopefully over the course of the next month, we're going to play some teams a little more close to us in talent ability and talent and ability, and perhaps we get some better results. But that's your ball game. Bulldogs lose 41-31, and again, State covers. And I've always felt that. I felt the spread, number one, was too high, and I thought that Georgia would not play with a lot of reckless abandon in that second half with Texas looming. Not to mention, Mississippi State's getting better. Mississippi State is getting better. It's a shame that we lose Blake Shapen, but again, think about what Michael Van Buren has had to do. Second half, where he wasn't even expected to play, has to take over against Florida, takes us down for a touchdown drive, would have been another one, time runs out on him. And then he has to go start at Texas and then starts at Georgia. If anybody has ever needed some home-cooked meals in a Mississippi State uniform, it's Michael Van Buren. So turn out this weekend and support your Bulldogs. All right, time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E, with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Let me give you Blair's phone number. It's between us girls. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. The reason you're going to need that number is when you have mortgage needs, and maybe you already have them. Maybe you need a refi. Maybe you've had a life reset. You got to look for a new home in a new town. Blair's licensed to work in states beyond the state of Mississippi. And so reach out to Blair, whether you're looking for a game day condo or a new place to store all your stuff. If you're like me, you're only here to kind of work, on a road a lot, need somewhere to get your mail, somewhere to keep your clothes. But maybe you're also looking to retire. You've always dreamed of moving to the Golden Triangle area or perhaps somewhere a bit more exotic. Blair can assist you with that. 23 years of experience in the industry, back-to-back-to-back years, top 1% close ratio in the country. Thus, the name Close with Blair. Reach out to Blair for all your needs. It's a complicated thing, working through underwriting. Blair can be your advocate and prepare you and structure a loan that puts you in a position to give you the best chance for approval. And if you're looking for a home, get that pre-qualification letter. You want to see your real estate agent get super motivated? That's what will happen. You don't want to be shopping for a home outside of your means. Close at Blair.com. Okay. I listen to a lot of Dateline podcasts on my travels. I do. I like the storytelling of Keith Morrison. I do. But I also listened to some Skid Row this weekend. Love the Skids. I love the new album with Eric. And, of course, Eric's no longer with the band. And everybody's like, well, maybe they'll get back together with Sebastian. And Snake has said, Rachel Bowen and Snake Sabo both have said, listen, I just I don't want to do it. We don't like Sebastian. We don't get along with Sebastian. It's my life. It's my livelihood. And we're not going to go sell out just for, make a few bucks. And so all we're going to be left with are basically three albums and a greatest hits album of the classic Skid Row lineup. That wasn't the original lineup. They had another singer, and much of the debut album had already been written and demoed before Sebastian joined the band. And of course, record company gets involved and says, hey guys, I love the band, I love the material, but you got to get a new singer. And they get the Canadian Sebastian Bach. So we're going to do Skid Row's deep tracks, right? Now, for those of you from my generation, you understand it's not like it is today. Today, it's all about the single. Those days, it was about the album because you could buy a single. You can buy a single today, too. But if you're like me and you've got Apple Music, I mean, you can get the family plan and get whatever you want, But those first two albums from Skid Row were phenomenal. Slave to the Grind is my favorite Skid Row album. And I was going through some difficult times in my life when that album came out. And maybe that's one of the reasons that I have such an affinity for it. But also, too, because this album was written and recorded with Sebastian Bach in mind, I think it's more true to who Skid Row really was. It was the first heavy metal slash rock album to ever debut at number one on a Billboard charts. Not on the rock charts, the entire chart. There you go. So here we go. From the debut, the lead track, the introductory track, for those of you that bought the album first, many of you saw them for the very first time, opening for Bon Jovi down in Biloxi on the New Jersey tour. Many of us were there February 13th, 1987, when Bon Jovi came through with Cinderella. Couple years later, they were back with Skid Row. And a lot of people didn't know much about them at the time. And Skid Row killed it. And then you went out and bought the album. They only had one single out at the time. And next thing you know, Skid Row was everywhere. But Big Guns, that's number 10. A little double entendre there. She's got the big guns pointed at my heart. Yeah, bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Love the Big Guns. Number 9, off of Slave to the Grind. Love this one. I actually had a Twitter exchange some time ago with Sebastian Bach. The lyrics in this song, Living on a Chain Gang, off Slave to the Grind. It opens with, and this is what Sebastian tweeted, turn on the TV because I got nowhere to go. I responded, seems like there's a little trouble down in Mexico. And somebody else jumps in, a 13-year-old boy robs a store so he can eat. They got him doing time while killers walk the streets. It's true. That's still timely. Love that track. Always have. Number 8, back on the debut. On the back half of this album, there's some killer deep tracks. A lot of people, Youth Gone Wild, 18 in Life, I Remember You. And that was the thing, too. Like, it was worth buying the album if there were at least three songs on there you liked. If you just liked I Remember You, you could just go buy the CD single or the cassette single. You didn't go buy the full album. But when you've got multiple hits on there, and they did, MTV was a real thing back then. They played music. But the back half of that album is legit. And number eight for me is making a mess. Making a mess. Number seven, again, we talked about that Slave to the Grind album. To me, every song on that album was capable of being a single. And I love this one. I love the anthemic chorus. Because I want you to stop reading me the riot act. You say it's raining, but you're dumb my back. Stop reading me the riot act. Number six, Back to the Debut. I love this one, man. I think it should have been a single. Love the guitar tone on this one. It's ridiculous, man. It's a Rattlesnake Shake. That's your number six song today. I do. I love it. It's one of those sultry and kind of sexy songs. Doing the Rattlesnake Shake. Yeah. Number five. This is only available. I guess now it's available on the anniversary release of the debut album, but also it's on 40 Seasons, The Greatest Hits of Skid Row. A song that was nearly made the album for the debut. It's a track called Forever. And it's written very similarly to the rest of that album. You can definitely tell there was a shift in musical influence between the debut and Enslaved to the Grind. But it's a track called Forever. And it is very poppy, which is one of the reasons it probably didn't make it. Number four, and this is one of those songs too, Sebastian Bach helped write this one. That opening guitar riff just makes me want to punch a gas in the car. I mean, I absolutely love this one. I love Sebastian's vocal performance. I love the aggressive nature of this one. And again, it's on the Slave to the Grind album. It's Mudkicker. Love it, man. I do. That's one of those songs that gets me fired up. Number three, our only song from Subhuman Race. And I couldn't wait to run out and buy Subhuman Race because I didn't really understand. I really knew the drama that was kind of going on behind the scenes with Skid Row. And this album was absolutely disjointed. It is an absolute mess. It really is. And I think last time I saw it, it sold about 200,000 copies. Now, remember, Skid Row, multi-platinum release, Slave to the Grind, had sold over 1 million copies, pre-ordered over 1 million copies by record stores around the country. And then this album sells about 200,000 copies, and many of those in the last decade. I think right around, if I remember correctly, like through the 90s, this album sold like 150,000 copies. That's it. The album is not good. But there are a couple of high points on the album, and like a lot of people are big fans of Iron Will, and I get it. I understand it. Beat Yourself Blind. I just thought there was no flow to the album. And Breaking Down is great. Love Breaking Down. That was also released as a single. And that's one of the reasons that the songs that I picked, I try to pick songs that weren't singles. This one actually was released as a single. But the grunge movement was happening. Skid Row was having their own problems. I love this song. And there are sometimes I wake up with an earworm, and this is the only song that I want to listen to. And it's Into Another off Subhuman Race. It's number three track. I think it's one of the shining moments of Sebastian Bach's musical career. Absolutely love this one, man. All the way through. Love the guitar tone. I think the percussion's a high point on it, too. Number two, arguably my favorite song that wasn't a single off of the Slave to the Grind album. And it's The Threat. It's a little more personal to me, too, you know. It's going to take more than a break in the law to make me foul, to make me smile pretty for the wrecking ball if I can get it out. The Threat. Because once you've made your mark, you've made a threat to society. Love it. I love the chorus on this. Because I won't beg, I won't bleed. I won't do it. Number one, a song that was a bonus track. It nearly made the Slave to the Grind album, and it's only been made available in demo form. I would love to hear this with the full production. It's my number one track, and the very first time that I heard it, a friend of mine had it. It wasn't even available commercially. A friend of mine had it through another friend in the industry, and he's like, hey, this is the last song that didn't make the cut on Slave to the Grind. And if you had that album, there were actually 13 tracks on it initially. And there was the PMRC version, you know, with the explicit lyrics. that had "Get the F Out" on it, and they got banned from Wembley Stadium for playing that. They were told not to play it. They played it anyway, and they were banned from Wembley Stadium. But on the Walmart version, there was a great track called "Beggar's Day," but we didn't go that direction. We're going with a great track that was hidden for many, many years, and the fans wanted to hear it, and it's "Fire in the Hole." It's your number one track today. "Cover Me, I'm Going Down," and there's "Fire in the Hole." Absolutely love this track. I think Sebastian's phenomenal on it. I wish they would rework it and maybe enhance the mix a little bit, but I dig it. And I think Sebastian Bach is the Robert Plant of my generation, and I understand he's very difficult to deal with. I did meet him years ago at the Varsity in Baton Rouge. Super cool guy. He was still married to Teresa then, got to meet her too. It was great. And extremely talented guy that's had a lot of challenges in life, and many of those of his own volition, right? So wished at some point the Skids would get back together. I just don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime. I did like what Skid Row did with Lizzie Hale. They brought her out there, and man, wouldn't it have been great if Lizzie had joined Skids for a record? She was phenomenal. I wish they would release some of that stuff. And you know they recorded it. Everything is recorded these days. But you can find some videos online of Lizzie Hale from Hellstorm fronting Skid Row after Eric had a recurrence of the cancer situation. And we certainly wish him the best. But there you go, Skid Row. Top 10 deep tracks from the Skids. Be sure and check it out. Hope you enjoy the list. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're looking for Mississippi State gear, look no further than Campus Bookmart. The thing I love about Campus Bookmart is I know when I go in there, I'm going to spend some money. And I don't go in there just to browse. Like, you know, like when I'm hanging out of the store and people come in and say, "Hey, we're just looking today." Well, looking's free tomorrow. You got to buy something today. You don't go in there unless you have a need in mind. And Miss Kathy Brown and the staff there will do their best to make sure that your needs are met. Whether it be apparel, whether it be stuff you need for your fan cave, perhaps for your RV, could be your pets, could be that graduation gift, a housewarming gift. Every Bulldog fan wants Mississippi State merchandise. And don't put it off to Christmas. Don't do it. Don't say, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and buy it now for Christmas." I mean, maybe if you're on a limited budget, I get it. But the reality of it is we don't buy enough stuff for each other. You know, it's so great. And that package shows up and you're not expecting it. You're like, "Oh, I'm just making my day. Can't wait to go wear this." Right? Don't you want to put a smile on somebody's face? If you can't make it to town, let me encourage you to go to campusbookmart.net. And you can order online today. Order something for yourself or somebody you love. Or maybe just somebody you like. And make their day. I'll give you a promo code to give you some incentive. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, looking back at the weekend, Texas absolutely annihilates Oklahoma 34-3, and I think your good friend and host suggested that would be the case. I think when Quinn Ewers is there, not that Arch Manning didn't do a great job against us, but I think Quinn Ewers really, really, really is the difference maybe in them winning an AFL championship and then not winning an AFL championship. I think it's that simple. I don't think Arch is quite ready. I think you can only script so much. I think Quinn Ewers is a guy that is absolutely legitimate. He was 20 of 29 for 199 yards and a touchdown. They ran the ball exceptionally well too. Wisner with 13 carries, 118 yards, and a score. And again, 34-3. Oklahoma's up 3-0 after one. You're thinking, "Oh, Steve, it's getting a little tense." And then Texas explodes for 21 points there in the second quarter. And they cruise to a 34-3 win. Oklahoma, told you guys at the beginning of the year, they might be a 7-5 team. Maybe. We've already discussed the state Georgia game. Of course, big numbers for Carson Beck, 459 yards. And so much of that's swing passes. A lot of yards after the catch, for sure. We got tackle better. All right, Alabama nearly – can we trust Alabama? I mean, let's just kind of be honest with ourselves. This has gotten to be absolutely insane, what's happening with Alabama. You lose to Vanderbilt. You think, okay, there's going to be a renewed focus. They're going to be good. Guys, they should have lost the game to South Carolina. Absolutely should have. South Carolina misses a field goal, gets the ball back. They score, go for two, don't get it, to tie it. They get the onside kick. And you at least get, you got a chance to get in field goal position. You take a couple negative plays here. You know, get Alabama credit for closing this thing out. But this Alabama season, man, has been a roller coaster. And you look up at their 5-1, and it's like, yeah, but they're having to sweat these things out. Guys, he was 14-12 at the break. South Carolina outscored him 12-7 in the second quarter, 14-12. And then South Carolina takes a 19-14 lead to the fourth quarter. And then Alabama kind of wakes up a little bit, and they win the game 27-25. DeBoer is having to have to answer some difficult questions, but I tell you this. After Alabama beat Georgia, you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe Alabama's great. You know, after seeing Georgia play in person, I don't know that we have an elite team outside of Texas in the Southeastern Conference that's capable of winning an AFL championship. Of course, it's not going to depend on the draw, but do you trust Alabama? I don't trust Alabama. And I mean, you look at some of these numbers, and it just didn't make a lot of sense. But nevertheless, Alabama wins 27-25. Tennessee and Florida has to go to overtime. Give Billy Napier and the crew a lot of credit for going into Neyland and playing as well as they did. It's a 10-10 game headed to the fourth. Both teams score. Florida had a chance to fold. They didn't. Tennessee had a chance to win in regulation. They didn't. And they go to overtime, and Tennessee wins 23-17. Samson's kind of quietly having a good year for Tennessee. 27 carries for 112 yards. We'll see a lot of him when we head up there. The game you're all waiting for me to talk about, though, Ole Miss and LSU. And we're going to spend a couple minutes on this, too. So I get in the car. I'm in traffic jam trying to get to the interstate. And it's halftime. And they're very gleeful. Like, I turn on the Varsity app. I pick the Ole Miss broadcast. And, 17-13 at the break. Of course, I've gone back and watched the highlights of all this, and it was some craziness early in the ballgame. Ole Miss made some mistakes and had some things kind of go against them. And, of course, too, I mean, you look at this, too. I mean, you know, Bentley has the big 50-yard touchdown run on a fourth down play. Really good effort for him, a jump cut for him to kind of free himself. And they're pinching inside. And so if you can somehow get through the containment there, there's nobody out there. And Bentley's really fast, too. I don't know if he gets enough credit. I liked him when they signed him. As other people like, oh, you know, he's not that good. That kid can play. I'll be playing more. But anyway, this game I thought was won when Garrett Nussmeier, I guess it was a 3rd-and-14 play, and it seemed like there was nowhere to go with the football, and he runs and breaks a tackle and extends a drive. It was nuts, right? It was crazy. And you felt like, too, you know, when LSU picks off the ball in the end zone, that, you know, Lane Kiffin came back later and said that Juice Wells was held on the play. Juice has been a disappointment for Ole Miss. He truly has been. I don't know what's wrong with Juice, but I really thought he would have a big year up there. So far, it hadn't happened. But they pick it off, and you think, okay, well, LSU will go ahead and put this thing away. They don't, though. But how crazy was it on fourth down, and that throw for the tying score? It wasn't wide open. There was actually pretty good coverage there. Nussmeier kind of throws him open. Great throw, great catch, and actually really good coverage on the play. And they explode. And I was kind of sweating the extra point, right, because I didn't want Ole Miss to win. I didn't. I picked LSU to win, but also didn't want Ole Miss to win because my two favorite teams are Mississippi State and whoever's playing Ole Miss. And then next thing you know, LSU wins a toss. They pick to go on defense first, as you should, because then you know what you got to do offensively. And then Ole Miss goes back and back and back, and what they get, 5 sacks between overtime and the second half. And they end up having to kick a 57-yard field goal, and he rips it, right? It went in the stands. And that thing was good from probably 65. It was ridiculous. And then I start thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, maybe LSU's luck's about to run out. But no. Pump fake, and they throw the ball up, and it's a touchdown. Lacy catches it, and immediately on the Ole Miss broadcast, they said it was a push-off. There was not a push-off. It's ridiculous. But there's always an excuse. The simple matter of the fact is that Ole Miss let LSU hang around, and they paid for it. Now, you are not going to beat the Cajun voodoo by beating yourself. I mean, we know back in 14, we went down there with Dak, and we are destroying them, and then we took our foot off the gas and have to bat a pass down on the last play of the game to win. It's not just enough to get an early lead against LSU. It's not enough to get a fourth quarter turnover against LSU. You got to short sheet their beds. You got to put sugar in the gas tank. You got to hide all the bottles of Tabasco at the catfish place. I mean, it's you to win in Tiger Stadium when you are not an Alabama or a Georgia or really an LSU contemporary, and Ole Miss is not, despite what they tell you. You're going to have to be up probably 14 points with about 3 minutes to go to pull that thing off. We've seen it so many times, not just to us, but to others. There's just something about that place. And give those fans a lot of credit. Over 100,000 show up for the game. I thought they made a big difference in the ballgame late. And I thought Ole Miss, again, proved to be front runners. They are a team that cannot handle adversity. And lo and behold, what happens? LSU survives the first quarter. And Ole Miss had some opportunities. But you look up after one, and there's no score. Then you kind of settle into the game. You're no longer following the script. You got to get out and play. And then Ole Miss 17-13. Think, okay. When I saw the score, I was like, yeah, LSU's going to win this thing. And even in that third quarter, it felt like LSU was like the one play away. And how many times did you see Ole Miss march down the field and then get in close to the red zone and then negative play after negative play after negative play? And give LSU's defensive front and their defensive play calling a lot of credit. They absolutely made the Ole Miss offensive line look completely lost. And late in that ball game, they did. And, big win for LSU. And, the thing about it is if you're Ole Miss too, and there's a lot of angst out there, and you're going to think, well, Steve, you're just kind of pouring salt in the wounds. And maybe I am. But when you go all in the way they did, and that was the talk, and of course, I had people, some people on the Ole Miss side that wanted to run their mouth. I had some people tell me that Ole Miss, during the portal season last year, they were like, we're going to spend whatever we have to spend. And we've got a great nucleus of players coming back. Got Jackson Dart back. Trey Harris is going to be great, and he is, and he's been banged up. But a kid, he's legit. You can say what you want to about him. That kid can really play. We're going to do whatever we have to do to go all in to win an Eiffel Championship. And I give them credit for that. And I would hope if we're ever in that situation or we got a strong nucleus coming back and we're a couple players away, we'll go do the same thing. But the problem when you're Ole Miss is it's your Ole Miss. And at some point, the football gods are going to remind you, hey, you're Ole Miss. You can't go out there in the NIL portal world and change who you are. You go get some players. But here's the thing, too. And when you go out there and you begin to get – when you get players, you want to go to the highest bidder. Is that always the best thing? I mean, honestly, they're not picking you because you're the best fit. They're not picking you because they feel like in your offense or in your defense or within your university that they can, find a home and really excel. They're picking you because you're writing the bigger check. And not everybody is the right fit out of the portal. And you're like, hey, all I know is this. Look at Juice Wells, man. He was great at South Carolina. He's one of the best receivers in the portal. Let's go get him. We're a pass-happy offense. But for some reason or another, it hadn't worked out. And here it is again. You've gone and spent millions of dollars only to find out that you're not good enough. And I think that's the problem that Ole Miss is going to continue to run into, is you're just not good enough. And I don't think it's got anything to do with Lane Kiffin. I don't think it has anything to do with the DeGrove Collective. I think it's got to do with the culture. And what I mean by that is when you are surrounded by people who have a real big lack of self-awareness and all they do is tell you how great you are, you start doing this Cadillac thinking. You know it's true. It's been that way for years. Hey, you guys are going to win an Eiffel Championship. And that's what you hear over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And too much praise is a bad thing. Because when you have so many people around you telling you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear, you forget about the things you need to do. And that's where Ole Miss is. You say, well, you know, Steve, they can still do it. Kind of like Alabama, do you trust Ole Miss? When they lost to Kentucky, that was a body blow. And now Kentucky's lost to Vanderbilt, right? We'll get to that shortly. It makes that loss look even worse. And then you go down to Tiger Stadium and have every opportunity to put those guys away in a year when LSU is just kind of a good team. They're not an elite team. Nobody's picking them to go to the playoffs. And they're going to drop some games. But do you think Ole Miss can win out? I don't. I mean, based on what you saw from Georgia, I know they got to go to Oxford, and it'll be a big crowd. It'll be a lot of fun. But based on what you saw from Georgia on Saturday, do you think Ole Miss can score with Georgia? I don't. So I think it's at least one loss. Who knows? Maybe we can see another one. Missouri just annihilates UMass. We expected that. 45-3. The game was over at the half, 24-3. And then at third quarter, Missouri, just to make sure that they could get the second, third team guys in, put up 21 points. Coasted there in the fourth. Brady Cook is 14 of 19, 219 yards, a couple touchdowns. Carroll, 15 carries for 91 yards, three touchdowns. And then Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I almost picked Vanderbilt in this game because I was a little bit – I thought Kentucky was going to win. I wasn't sure if they were going to cover. But I picked them because I thought, you know what, Vanderbilt, are they going to be able to come out of the clouds? You know, it's so difficult to be able to manage success when you haven't had success. And so those are things you think about. We talked about Vandergriff. Could Vandergriff be the same guy to beat Ole Miss? He wasn't. 15 of 25 for 158 yards and a touchdown. Kentucky's not great. They're not. And now you start thinking about Vanderbilt, and it's like after they beat Alabama, it was like maybe they can make a bowl game. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't think so. After they beat Kentucky, I'm kind of getting on the bandwagon here a little bit because you get Ball State this week. Ball State, that gets you five wins if you can get that one. Let's not forget, too, that they should have beat Georgia State. They lost to Georgia State down there, and had they done that, they'd be getting bowl eligible this week. Well, the next week, you got Texas in Nashville. Then you have to go to Auburn. And that Auburn, the Tiger psyche is pretty fragile right now. It's going to be awfully interesting. Then you host South Carolina. And I never know what to expect from the Gamecocks. And you got to go to LSU. That's a loss. And you host Tennessee. Tennessee offensively has not been as good as of late. But now all of a sudden, I start thinking, if they get Ball State, which I expect, that gets into five wins, can they get one of the final five? I'm going to say yes. Now that they've gotten over the hump and they've beaten Kentucky, they'll beat Ball State, and they'll find a way to get one of those last five. And I suspect it probably is Auburn or South Carolina. Now, all of a sudden, I'm kind of a Vandy fan, right? I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I hate that we're not going places, but I think it's kind of a cool thing to see what Vanderbilt's done this year. Our buddy Barton Simmons, of course, part of the staff there at Vanderbilt. So that's your weekend recap. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you're going to be amazed. When you do, their Facebook page is going to pop up. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guests because you want to come to Starkville. You want to stay at a great place, have a great time. Well, they can help you with that. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. And it doesn't really matter what sporting event you're coming to. Full-service kitchen, got that great back porch area, the wet bar, the fire pit outside. You only got really one neighbor out there, and that's not that we want you to go throw some rave or anything, but it just kind of shows you the peace and quiet. It's available to you. It's well off the road. It's so nice and quiet out there. I've been out there multiple times. Had some friends of mine that used it a while back. It was great. They loved it too. And you're going to be amazed. It's the old renovated clubhouse of the old country club. Yeah, that's available to you and your guests, whether it be a family weekend, a friend's weekend, college roommates weekend, a girl's weekend, a guy's weekend. It's a great place to go stay. Now, when you Google, some booking options are going to come up. It's going to be Airbnb, VRBO. But if you book through the Evolve website, I'll give you a promo code, BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. How about that? Give you some incentive just by listening to our show. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, let's talk about this Kirby Smart shove thing. Okay, and I'm not going to sit here and go over a lot of details with this because I want to really talk about some of our fans' reaction to this. Number one, Kirby Smart broke the rules. Okay, simple as that. There are NCAA rules, not to mention there is SEC precedent about how the league frowns upon this. Nate Oates is reprimanded from bumping into a Missouri player back during basketball season. Kirby Smart broke the rules. And I have seen some of our fans try to minimize this a little bit. I've seen some others that are trying to take it over the top. It's bad enough as it is. Okay, Michael Van Buren wasn't hurt, okay? But that does not mean that what Kirby Smart did wasn't a big deal. You had a coach run onto the field and shove your player. He didn't bump into him. Like I've seen some people say, well, he bumped into him. No, he didn't. He didn't bump into him. Now, I'm not sure that he knew it was Michael Van Buren. He may have thought he was one of his own players. But either way, the conduct is unprofessional. Kirby Smart addresses it today. And he had spoken with Jeff Lebby Saturday night, and he called Michael Van Buren and personally apologized and said he didn't mean anything by that. I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe there was absolutely no malicious intent with any of that stuff. But the rules are broken. It's an inappropriate action from a sitting SEC football coach. Dan Jackson, the safety from Georgia, is the one that kind of ushered Michael Van Buren out of bounds. If Dan Jackson had lowered his shoulder and just destroyed Michael Van Buren in the white, there would be blood in the streets, and Kirby Smart would be leading the charge in that respect. That's not how we play, you know, right? And so we can't accept behavior from a coach that we wouldn't accept from a player. And some of our fans, I'll be honest with you, I've been disappointed. I really have been. Oh, Steve, it's a nothing burger. But does Greg Sankey typically issue statements when it's a nothing burger? Does he? No. Is it? Do we need to, take to the streets, start a hunger strike? No. As far as I'm concerned, it's handled now, right? Mike and Jeff Lebby didn't want to make a big deal about it in post game. I was there, right? Question gets asked. I was like, no comment on that. And Mike's like, I'm just trying to play my game. And of course, they were probably prepped by Brendan Langlois, media relations. I think you handled it the only way you can handle it. You don't want to make a big deal out of this, right? You let the league handle it. The league handled it. It's not worthy of a suspension. It is worthy of a reprimand. It's worthy of an apology. But that's done. But when did we get so poor in the mouth that we're okay with a coach shoving our player? You're like, well, Steve, it's all about intent. Well, here's the thing, too. I will say, again, I don't think there's any malicious intent. It doesn't change what happened. It still happened. But to see people go out there and kind of defend that, where are we as a fan base? And it's so funny, too. It's like I've noticed some people, too. It's so interesting. Your good friend and host, very perceptive. It's like all of a sudden when it first got out on Twitter, some people are like, I can't believe this. My gosh, look at this. There's even some pearl clutching going around. And then all of a sudden when maybe some other people that maybe you think are cool said, it's not that big a deal. Well, then your initial reaction is then changed. Like you go against your own initial reaction because you want to be one of the cool kids. And I'll tell you this, I'm a Mississippi State kid, okay? I'm not out here for the cool points. I got enough hair and tattoos and street cred to get that already. I don't need the Twitter cred. But all that understood, here is my take on that. Let's forget that it's a Mississippi State player. Let's forget that it's a game that you're watching because of your emotional investment. If you saw a coach from any team go on the field and shove the opposing quarterback, what would be your reaction? It's a principles before personality thing, man. And it's like, you know, I had a guy on my message board is absolutely giving me, you know, uncharted hell about this today. You know, and it's ridiculous. You know, we can have a difference of opinion without getting personal. But I want to address this on the show because I'm a Mississippi State person. I don't need somebody else's approval to have an opinion. And sometimes I don't share the opinion of my friends. We're still friends. And we can be friends in disagreement. It's just like when the whole thing happened with Morris Hodges back there in baseball, right? Morris Hodges intentionally bumped into Hunter Hines. And immediately we had some of our own fans trying to defend it. And you know what happened after that? Morris Hodges was suspended the next weekend. He did not umpire an SEC game the next weekend. Maybe you didn't know that. Kirby Smart goes out, shoves our quarterback. And again, I don't think he even knew it was Michael Van Buren. I think he was so determined to get to Glenn Schumann that there just happened to be somebody there. And so I don't think he's trying to hurt Van Buren, but it still happens. Right? If I'm going down the highway and I'm not paying attention and I run off the road and run into your house, you're going to expect me to take care of that, right? Of course you are. And so the reality of all this is we have got to get this. There's two things. The pearl-clutching, hyperbolic responses, we got to pull those. We got to dial that back a little bit. And then these others, people, we have got to stop trying to undermine Mississippi State. Right? If we expect our student athletes to be treated with dignity and respect, and we expect them to conduct themselves as professionals when they represent our university, we should have the same expectation for others. Kirby Smart was wrong. He has admitted that he was wrong. And yes, it's a heat of the moment thing. Well, I tell you this, go slap your wife in the heat of the moment and see how that goes. Right? Well, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. Right? And we're never going to advocate personal violence against anybody. But the reality of that is this. That's what's more offensive to me is not Kirby Smart shoving our quarterback. I'm not even that upset about Kirby not apologizing initially. He's done it now. So far as I'm concerned, we're moving on. What I'm upset about is why do we have so many people to blame Mississippi State first mentality? I don't get it. Why don't we have more pride about ourselves? We think it's okay for somebody to go shove our quarterback, a non-participant in a football game. That's okay? We think it's okay for an umpire to go chest bump our star player after he has a terrible game behind the plate? That's okay? Why are we in such a rush to self-loathe being a Bulldog? I don't get it. And I'll be honest with you, that is the mentality that holds us back. That's the poor old state. Not the folks that turn up every week and come watch ball games. Well, you're accepting mediocrity. You're promoting mediocrity when you constantly undermine Mississippi State and somehow find every situation to blame Mississippi State. Listen, I don't work for the university. I work for me. But I'm going to speak on behalf of all the true Maroon fans. We don't need you. We absolutely do not need you as a fan. If that's the way you feel, well, Steve, you're kind of making a big deal out of this. It is a big deal. It's not a big deal that was worthy of a suspension. It's been handled appropriately now. But some of our people, it's like we just want to be internet cool so bad that we can't even call something that's wrong, wrong. Where are we? Listen, it's a tough season. But somehow we deserve to have our quarterback shoved? It's not a big deal. You don't get to do that in life. And as I've said before too, if a player came up and shoved him, it'd have been a 15-yard penalty and unsportsmanlike conduct. So why are we willing to accept from a coach what we wouldn't accept from a player? But somehow Mississippi State's at fault. So it's like you think we don't deserve to be treated well. We don't deserve to have equal and fair treatment by the officials. Well, I think we do. You know, I sat in an office one day, and Mike Leach, and there are probably some people out there that are probably uncomfortable knowing that I was privy to this conversation. But Mike's gone now, and God rest his soul. But I'm going to tell you this. I was in there after a certain game, and Mike gets a call from the head of SEC officiating football. And I said, hey, I'm going to get up and walk out. And Mike's like, no, you can stay. I said, Mike, he said, sit down. And I listened to Mike Leach sit out there and just lambast the head of SEC football officials and just absolutely take him to school and tell him, I don't know what the opinion is in Birmingham about Mississippi State. I don't know that. But I can tell you this, as long as I'm here, you are not and your crews are not going to disrespect Mississippi State. It made me proud. You know, we've had some administrators in the past that had those similar type discussions. And sometimes, you know, we want to play politics. And it's like sometimes we want to excuse ourselves. We're embarrassed that we're a member of the Southeastern Conference, that we don't deserve the same protections under the rules that the SEC provides for everybody else. You know, if you settle for less now, you'll settle for less later. You got to beat a squeaky wheel. Yeah, I go back to this whole thing that happened with Georgia and baseball. You know, and Zach Selman goes out there, and Zach, you know, again, this is probably a conversation people don't want me to tell y'all, you know. But, you know, Zach Selman kind of gets out of line there, and he goes out and puts a statement out about how ridiculous that whole SEC control center thing was handled. And I know that it ruffled some feathers. And I absolutely support ruffling feathers when our people and our student athletes are being mistreated. Because I have pride in this university. I have pride in myself. And there's a difference between pride and ego. I'm not going to let people run all over me. And I'm glad that there are some people that are connected to Mississippi State that aren't going to let Mississippi State get run over either. And I can tell you some stories about Dr. Keenan when he retires one day, some things that he has done and said over the years to ensure that Mississippi State gets some measure of fair treatment. I can guarantee you that. And so we've got to stop with all this blame Mississippi State first mentality. You are the people that talk about, oh, I hate the poor old state mentality. You are the poor old state mentality because you don't believe we deserve to be treated fairly. And I absolutely despise that. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.